with all of you. My heart goes out to those from Sandy Hook Elementary, and we'll give ourselves an opportunity to pray about these things, the prayers of the people, as we think about the victims, and we want to pray for them in Newtown, Connecticut. Today we're going to focus on John the Baptist a bit, and what would happen during Advent if, rather than St. Nicholas, we looked and dressed up like, or I had somebody dress up like John the Baptist. What would that be like? There he is with his wild eyes, bearded face, camel hair tunic, telling everyone to repent. Rather than candy canes, he might hand out honey-flavored grasshoppers. Now John preached where we expect wild prophets like him to preach, on the margins in the desert. There was no pulpit and stained glass to accompany his words. He preached fiercely with no concern about who might be offended. "You brood of vipers," he said to the multitude that surrounded him. So we have the paradox of Advent. No comfort in John's voice, only the mirror of truth to all who dare to look in. There was no fear in him, as there is for many preachers. Alistair Begg says, "The voice of the prophet can never be heard when he is concerned about the sound of his own voice." John certainly was not concerned about that. What might he say to us? Our gospel reading is in three nice paragraphs, each with a theme. The first one is about this children of Abraham business. "Do not say," says John, "we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." To paraphrase, John might say, "You can't ride into the kingdom on someone else's coattails, whether you are a son of Abraham or a cradle Episcopalian. You must come to God on his terms and no one else's. The faith must be your faith, and you must repent. No one can believe for anyone else. You must come to Christ on your own." Now, sometimes this means being converted to our own faith. The promises made in baptism, whether we made them or someone else made them on our behalf, they must become our promises 100%. We must have hearts of flesh toward our own faith, not hearts of stone. Turning stones into children of God is a fascinating image which John uses. How do you make a child of God from a stony, cold heart? Well, we'll get back to that. Secondly, the next paragraph. The sinners, tax collectors, and soldiers asked John what they should do in response to his message. Three interesting categories. They represent the worst in religious circles. Sinners are sinners. Tax collectors are cheaters who compromise with the Romans. And many Roman soldiers were just Gentile thugs who used their power to steal from the weak. "What then should we do?" they ask. To the sinner, John replies, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." To the tax collector, he says, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." To the soldier, he says, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." John is returning to the rudiments of the Torah. These are not radical commands. They're very practical, but also very basic. They are simple rules to play better in the sandbox. John might say to us, "Are you too tied to this world and its possessions? Have you cheated anyone lately? Are you kind and loving to your family and friends? Are you living a life that only you know about? Do you gossip? Do you backbite?" John would say, "Repent. Turn it around for your sake and the sake of others." John is in many ways the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he gives us commands that we would expect. Nothing unusual, be fair, be just, don't abuse others and keep God first. But John was preparing the people for a more radical time and a more radical kingdom. John's purpose was to prepare and then step aside. There is an interesting juxtaposition between John the Baptist's commands here in Luke 3 and Jesus' commands in Luke chapter 6. You would think it was John who was more radical, but it is actually Jesus. John says, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise." And what does Jesus say just three chapters later? "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back." You see what's going on. John says, share your extra cloak. Jesus says, give your cloak and your tunic as well. John says, be fair with others and share. Jesus says to give to strangers and your enemies without asking for anything in return. The Torah says, play nice. Jesus says, open your heart, like turning a stone into a child of God. Our third paragraph. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, what does that mean? The waters of John cleaned the stony heart, but the fire of Jesus transforms a stone into a child of God. Canon Gray Temple says this, "John could soak you in water and you'd come up clean. Jesus, as John predicted, can soak you in the very life, the very breath of God, and you come up transformed." Try to imagine how your life would feel if you got soaked in a vat of God's own substance, like you were a bolt of cloth being dyed God-colored. Christ is the restoration of humanity to God. In Christ we are healed and become what we were intended to be, children and friends of God. Our sin and brokenness are healed by God in Christ. God became man to make us new. God became man so he could share his life with ours. God became man so we could be what we were intended to be in Eden, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Christ came to make this broken world. And we see how very broken it can be. He came to make it new. Scott Carnes says, "He takes our hands into his own, and if we will agree to it, he makes our hands into his own, so that we may become the very members of the body we pray to be." Christmas is God becoming one of us to transform us and to make us like him. We are to be a light in the midst of great darkness. Nancy Rockwell says, "Jesus mingles fire, mystical fire, like the burning bush. Tears become grace. Generosity becomes blessing. Love becomes central to all." But now is at the ending. "The low is lifted high. The stars shall bend their voices, and every stone shall cry. And every stone shall cry in praises to the child, by whose descent among us the worlds are reconciled." Amen.